This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Time for Allen, deep to the end zone, and caught for a touchdown, John Brown.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. You can also catch us on the radio.com app. Bills game week coverage is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will take a trip inside the mind of the machine. Coming up in 1 hour, we will be joined by NFL Hall of Famer Warren Moon. We'll be on the show coming up in about an hour or so. But I was watching NFL Live yesterday, and they asked a very interesting question. If Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills win on Sunday, would you consider Josh Allen to be a tier one quarterback? Now, I certainly have had my issues with Josh Allen in the past. You know me, I am big on completion percentage and yards per attempt, and those two numbers were not in Josh Allen's favor the first 2 years of his career. This year, he has turned into a real star quarterback. He's completing 70% of his passes, threw for 4,500 yards, had almost 40 touchdown passes, yards per attempt way up. There is no denying that Josh Allen had a superstar-like season. But I kind of feel like we asked teams to do this multiple times. We ask a lot of players to continuously do it. Last year, when Lamar had the big-time year, people were asking them, all right, hey, you had the good year. Go do it again. Why are we not going to require Josh Allen to do the exact same thing? Maybe I'm a little bit hesitant to jump all in because of what happened with Jared Goff. Back in 2018, whenever that Rams team went to the Super Bowl, I thought that Sean McVay, and Jared Goff were set up to be the next Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I thought they were going to go on a 10-year run where they were going to absolutely terrorize the league offensively. But then things changed, and things changed really quickly with the offense of the Los Angeles Rams, and now we found out that Jared Goff wasn't nearly the quarterback that he was in 2018. I'm not trying to put down the year that Josh Allen had. He had a fantastic season, one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. But this one game isn't going to make me put him in the same category of Patrick Mahomes, who has done it day in and day out since he got in the league. The same category as Aaron Rodgers. The same category as Russell Wilson. You got to do more than have one great season for me to place you in that list with those guys.
No, I'll take the guy that just did it. I'd rather have him over Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, his career is great, and I don't know if Josh Allen's ever going to be the Hall of Famer that Russell Wilson is pretty much a surefire going to end up being. But this year, look at the numbers. Russell Wilson are really, really tapered off. I'd much rather have Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's so much younger. We're talking about like a decade younger. So I think that we just have a difference of who are the first-tier quarterbacks. I don't know if Russell Wilson still is that guy. And I don't think there's as many as you think there is. I agree. Patrick Mahomes is on there. Aaron Rodgers is on there. We can save Josh Allen because that's the point of this conversation. How many other guys would you say are surefire top-tier quarterbacks? I don't think Lamar Jackson is. I don't think that Justin Herbert is just yet. Not a lot of those guys.
But I guess I'm wondering why Josh Allen would be in that category and not Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson this year, I know it didn't end as well as it started. I mean, Russell Wilson this year completed 69% of his passes, threw for over 4,000 yards, and had 40 touchdowns this year. Like, Russell Wilson had an elite type season. His team didn't advance in the postseason the way that we thought, but I've also seen Russell Wilson do it consistently. Since the Legion of Boom has ended, Russell Wilson has been a guy every single year you know is going to throw for 4,000 yards, a guy you know is going to throw for 30 or more touchdowns and take his team to the playoffs. I'm not trying to put down the year that Josh Allen had at all. He had a fantastic kind of season. But we used to make guys do it more than one time before we started putting them in this conversation. And with Josh Allen, he did it one year. It's certainly been impressive. And I think we're so hungry to put somebody in the same category with Mahomes and say this is our new wave of players that we're not letting them build that resume over time. Carson Wentz did it for a year. Goff did it for a year. Josh Allen did it for a year. Part of being elite, part of being dominant, part of being one of those guys is the ability to do it year in and year out. He just hasn't proven that yet.
Well, this is also Pat's third AFC Championship game, and the first time who'd he face? Tom Brady. We knew that he wasn't going to be around for long. In fact, I didn't think he'd still be around, but he is, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Ryan Tannehill last year. Josh Allen, I think, is the one guy that you could say, okay, he's actually made it to the AFC Championship game, and he's young, so he could get back. If you just look at those other two quarterbacks, I don't know if Tannehill ever gets back. We know that Tom Brady's never going to play in another AFC Championship game because he's in the NFC. Thank you, Captain Obvious. So Josh Allen has done all the things that we've talked about all these other guys being.
If you had to set the over-under right now, Super Bowls at Josh Allen at 1.5, what would you take? Because it sounds to me like you're all in on Allen. Well, now. That's perfectly fine.
He's going to keep bumping his head on Patrick Mahomes, kind of the same way that Ben Roethlisberger – all these guys.
But to be fair, though, Ben Roethlisberger also did go to 3 Super Bowls and win 2 of them. So you're right. He did bump his head, but he certainly got enough. He certainly got enough to eat during that
time.
Yeah,
this is the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson argument. Would we consider Phil Mickelson to be one of the greatest golfers of all time?
Absolutely.
If Tiger Woods didn't exist? So
I mean, I think he is, even though Tiger Woods did exist.
Yeah, but the numbers would look a whole lot different. So I think it's going to be one of those things where you could argue Ben Roethlisberger, if it wasn't for Peyton Manning, would have got to 5 Super Bowls. And if it wasn't for Tom Brady, Peyton Manning would have got to 5 Super Bowls. There's always going to be that guy. You see what I'm saying? There's kind of a domino effect. So I think Josh Allen's great.
You
think Josh Allen's the real deal.
I guess I'm just asking. I'm just saying is so based on
– I think the number you set's good. I think 1.5 is about right. To win Super Bowls, I'd probably take the under.
I guess I'm just saying is mostly you know you ask guys to do it again. You ask teams to do it again. We saw Josh Allen in 2018 complete 52% of his passes, 2019 complete 58% of his passes, this year take a massive jump. Last year in 16 games, he threw 20 touchdown passes. This year, he threw 37. Like, I kind of feel like if this was a baseball player, it kind of reminds me of Whit Merrifield. Now, I think that Josh Allen is better at his than Whit Merrifield, but follow me here. Like, remember when Whit Merrifield just came out of nowhere, it exploded out of nowhere. It's like, all right, hey, you did it the one year. You hit 280, you hit for a little bit of pop. All right, go prove it to us again. And then Whit Merrifield did it again, and now we put him in the regard of a guy who should be a perennial all-star and one of the better players in the league.
Josh Allen was supposed to do this, though. Whit Merrifield was a 30-year-old career minor leaguer that came from nowhere, so it's completely different.
I can't think of any player that went from being a below-average quarterback last year to being a guy that we think now can win multiple Super Bowls in one offseason.
For sure, but this is what Buffalo expected. This is why they drafted him. You always tell me, you don't draft a guy in the top 10 for him to not go out there and win Super Bowls. So this is what maybe we didn't think that this is going to be the guy that came out of Wyoming, but this is what Buffalo thought they were getting.
I thought that his ceiling was Cam Newton. I thought that he was going to be a guy who consistently completed like 55% of his passes, a guy who threw for around 3,000 yards, maybe 3,200 yards, but a guy who could be a player who ran for 850 to 1,000 yards every season. Like, he's turned into one of the better throwers of the football here over the last couple years. I just didn't see this happening. Now, I was wrong on Josh Allen. My evaluation of the player he was going to be was wrong. Again, I'll just keep saying it. I just want to see him do it again. Like, I'm surprised that we're willing to put him, like, if you're willing to say that he's in that tier with Mahomes, man, I've seen Mahomes do it for 50 games now at this point. I've seen Josh Allen do it for 15 games. Like, my sample of seeing Mahomes play at this astronomical level, and even a great level, is just so much longer than Josh Allen. I mean, Russell Wilson didn't instantly get put in there. Russell Wilson has to do it time after time. We didn't just instantly put Andrew Luck in that category.
Who's saying that you keep saying they're putting him in? Nobody's saying that he's Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody's saying it. Maybe if he wins this game.
But I guess I'm saying is, to me, tier one is the same tier as Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think there's 3 quarterbacks in tier one. I think it's Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's anybody else there. I think Deshaun Watson's fantastic. I would not put him in the same category as those guys. So even though Jared Goff has a Super Bowl appearance the same way that Josh Allen would have one, I don't think we ever put Jared Goff in the same conversation as those elite guys. It was always a gap between there because we could acknowledge there was a difference in where he was and where those other guys were in the league. That's where I think Josh Allen's. I think he's fine. I think he's at the top of tier two. He's certainly in that conversation, but I'm not putting him with those elite guys where I feel you can win the Super Bowl because this person is your quarterback. He just ain't done it long enough for me.
I guess I don't know how many tiers your auditorium has. I didn't know if there was like an upper deck and there was a mezzanine level. I didn't know if there were 4 people or 8 people on that top tier.
I think it's 3.
Well, I think if you're really going to be serious, then you can't have Russell Wilson on the same level with Patrick Mahomes. Then Patrick Mahomes deserves his own tier. He's in the front row center, and there's nobody else around him. Maybe if you want to put Aaron Rodgers for what he's done this year, and maybe I'll say next year he's probably still going to be really good, but then he's going to be 37, 38 years old. It's over with. So I don't know how you do your tier system, but if the way that you're doing it, Patrick Mahomes needs to be on his own.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get inside the mind of the machine. I have to ask you a very quick question. Yes, so now you are very team Josh Allen. So the 2004 quarterback class, I think, is very comparable to the 2018 class. That was the class that Eli went first, Rivers went fourth, Roethlisberger went 11, and then J.P. Lossman was drafted in the first round, but nobody ever heard of him. The 2018 class has Josh Allen in it, Lamar Jackson's in it, Baker Mayfield is in it. Which class do you think wins more Super Bowls? Now that we've seen the 2004 class, that I think it's safe to say that it's over. I don't think Big Ben's winning another Super Bowl. We know that that class got four. Do you think that this current crop, this 2018 class with Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, do you think they can get to four at some point?
Nah, because I don't believe that Baker's ever – I'd be surprised if Baker ever gets to a Super Bowl. We talk about all these other young quarterbacks in the AFC. I think the Browns are good. I like their coach. I like their roster. I don't love Baker Mayfield. They're going to keep bumping their head on the ceiling the same way that we saw the Chiefs do when they had Alex Smith a lot. It's cool. You can win the division 10, 11 games, but you can't win a Super Bowl. So, no. And Lamar Jackson – I'm on record a million times as saying that I think that last year was a career year. I think we're going to look back 15, 20 years from now and go, what? Lamar Jackson won an MVP? And I've seen him play in many big games, and he always comes up small. So I don't think Lamar Jackson's ever going to do it. So essentially what you're asking me is, do I think Josh Allen can get four rings? And no, I do not.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll take a trip inside the mind of the machine. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in 15 minutes, the present-day Kansas City Chiefs have a lot of similarities to a great team from NFL yesteryear. We'll get to that coming up in 15 minutes. In 45 minutes, Warren Moon will be on the show. Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon will be on the show coming up in 15 minutes. Before we do all of that, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
Let's continue talking Bills, C-Dot. Who's the funnier Bill, Bill Murray or Bill Burr?
Bill Murray's a little bit before my time, before my generation. I'm not saying I don't like Bill Murray. He just doesn't really do it for me. I actually really like Bill Burr. I think Bill Burr's really funny. I really enjoyed him earlier this year or last year when he was on Saturday Night Live. So, Bill Burr.
Somebody said last time I talked about Bill Burr that he once came through Kansas City and played Sprint Center. I don't know if that's true or not. Who's the weirder Bill? Bill Nye or Bill Walton?
Probably Bill Walton. I don't really know what Bill Walton's talking about a majority of the time.
I don't think he does either. More overrated Bill. This one's for you, Rob. Bill Goldberg, the wrestler, or Bill Russell, the basketball player?
This is an easy answer. Pick the right one, C-Dot. Easy money here.
Bill Goldberg is the correct answer.
What are we doing?
Rob, tell us how many points per game Bill Russell averaged.
Not many.
Was it 14?
It was something embarrassingly low. Talk of him being one of the top five basketball players of all time is absolute lunacy.
So is Phillip Rivers going
to the
Hall of Fame.
He's not even the best center in his era. Just nonsense.
What you guys are talking about.
Is any part of you going to miss Phillip Rivers at all?
Yeah, I think he was a fun villain. Like, you need villains. Like, Batman wouldn't be cool without the Joker or the Penguin or Catwoman. Phillip Rivers was a great villain. Those games always had meaning because you wanted to beat the other guy.
Did Batman need Robin?
No, not really. I mean, Robin's not in any of the more recent movies, and they still keep doing really well.
Yeah, I don't think Batman needed Robin. I think one time they made a movie that was just about Robin. Didn't go well. Any suggestions for who the Colts should try to get as their next quarterback?
I mean, I would say Carson Wentz, but I think there's a lot of challenges in trying to get Carson Wentz. I mean, are the Saints serious about keeping Jameis Winston? I think Jameis could make a lot of sense for them. I think that's a really good organization. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if they're not going to get Carson Wentz, I don't really think there's a lot of many good options this year to go get him. Like, you're not going to get into the Deshaun Watson category. They're not trading him to a team in the division. Like, I don't think they're going to trade him at all, but you're certainly not trading him to a team. You got to play him two times a year for the next 7 or 8 years or so. So I'd be interested in Jameis. I think he makes a lot of sense.
He's a younger, much cheaper, little bit more interception-prone version of Phillip Rivers, as far as I'm concerned. Do you think Green Bay regrets drafting a quarterback in the first round this year? Jordan Love.
I don't think there's any reason to regret it because we haven't seen him yet. I don't think there's any reason to be down on the pick.
They could have added another piece, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they knew that whenever they decided to draft the player. Like, they went to the NFC Championship game last year. They knew they had a really good team. I mean, they had all that information available whenever they decided to make the pick to go get Jordan Love. We always knew that the pick wasn't about the now. It was about the future. The pick was always about 2022, 2023, and beyond. There's no reason that that changed just based on them being good again this year.
Would you rather live in Buffalo, Green Bay, or Iowa?
Probably Green Bay because they have a football team and they're really passionate. Actually, I'd pick Buffalo.
Dog, what's your problem with Iowa?
What am I going to do in Iowa?
A lot.
Like what? What am I going to do?
Well, it depends. Are you in like a college town or are you out in the middle of nowhere?
Bro, I'm in a Are I'm you a in Council Bluffs?
Are you in Bettendorf? Or are you in Iowa City?
I don't have any interest in living in a – I'm 30 years old.
Okay.
I don't have any interest in moving to a college town.
I'm just suggesting that they've got sports. Iowa right now is a top five college basketball team. That means that they've got a social, like that there's stuff going on. I'm not pretending like it's Los Angeles, but you act like it's, I don't know, a bad city, and it's not.
I don't have any interest in living
State.
There. I don't want to live there. I don't want to move there.
Enjoy your time in Green Bay.
I don't want a vacation there. I don't have any interest in going to Iowa. Anytime I'm going to Iowa, I'm driving through to go somewhere cooler than Iowa.
Well, yeah, it's on the way to Chicago.
Or I'm going there to watch a game, and then I'm heading home directly after the game is over. I'm not trying to hang out or go out for drinks, or I don't want to hang out in Iowa. I don't want to kick it in Iowa.
You can bet on sports.
It's
like
internet.
It's like a 2.5 hour drive.
It's the internet.
I'm just saying, if you want to cash your ticket and actually walk it up to the window, the closest place to do that from where you're sitting right now here in Kansas City is Iowa, Council Bluffs, Iowa, to be more specific.
I mean, it's come on now.
You used to have a dog track there. It was great.
You don't need to bet on the internet to be able to place wagers on sports now. It's not that hard to
I make
do.
Many a wager from my toilet.
It's
you can do it from anywhere.
It's kind of like one of those things, like you don't got to go to Denver to smoke marijuana. Like if you want to smoke marijuana, you can do so now.
Word?
Like, nothing's stopping you from doing that.
Is that right?
I mean, I don't do it. It's not really part of my life.
But you can?
You don't have to go to Denver to do it. You can just do it right now from where you live. So if you want to place the Chiefs -3, you don't have to drive to Iowa to do it. You can just do it.
And wait until you want to get your money, though.
You don't have to wait. It's 2021.
But I actually bet online, and you don't, so I know what I'm talking about. And I've cashed out before, and they send you a check that looks shadier than the one that Ed McMahon used to drop off at the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
I know I'm really good friends with people that gamble on sports all the time. They're not doing it the way that you're doing it, and they're instantly getting their money back. Like, the same day, you can get your money back. It's 2021. The world is digital now. They're sending Venmo payments and Cash App payments. You ain't got to do it that way no more.
Yes, what you're talking about is illegal. What I was talking about is legal.
I mean, Bovada's illegal, too. I mean, it's illegal. I mean, that's why there's an offshore account. I mean, it's illegal to do it.
No, it's not illegal. That's why you can bet on it. There's like a roundabout. They've circumvented the legal process.
Yeah, I mean,
much more than your guy's Slippery Pete.
Yeah.
Shows up on the corner on Johnny Mission Parkway and somewhere and delivers you a big check.
Just pay him.
Probably cash.
I mean, Slippery Pete ain't doing nothing to you if you get a man his money.
No, I know. I owe him like $650 right now. Let's get back to the Bills. Birthday Bills. How old's Bill Snyder?
I actually know this one. If my math is correct, because he retired at 78, he's now 2 years removed. We're going into year 3 being removed, which would make him 81.
He is 81. See if you can do that for Bill Self.
I actually think Bill Self's like 56.
I think he's Adidas. I don't know how old he is.
Is that a number?
I don't know how old he is.
Don't even want to guess, okay? He's 58 years old.
I don't know. I just think he's Adidas. I don't know anything else.
Bill Belichick.
When do you think the NCAA is coming for Kansas?
I don't know. You've been talking about it for 5 years, it feels like. Been wanting it for a decade, and nothing has happened. At some point, I assume it will.
Who is the person you asked me about?
Bill Belichick. How old is Bill Belichick?
Like 68.
He is 68. Thanks for playing our game. What else do I have here for you? Oh, speaking of Green Bay, I know you're a huge fan of Sean McVay. Who's the better coach, Sean McVay or Matt LaFleur?
I think it's Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay is one of the top 10 coaches in the NFL. I'm super high on his ability, though. I think Matt LaFleur is obviously doing a fantastic job. I also think he started life on third base. You know, like you started with Aaron Rodgers with something to prove. That's a really good place. Like, what does it look like when you don't have Rodgers and you got to find your own quarterback? That's why I think the Jordan Love is so interesting. Like, that's going to be Matt LaFleur's, that's his quarterback. Like, you don't draft that quarterback without the coach being highly involved and on board with the selection. So that's when I really think we can start to evaluate Matt LaFleur.
Maybe Mike McCarthy just sucks. You think about that?
Oh, I think that LaFleur is a better coach than Mike McCarthy, but not many people get their first head coaching job and you get a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's just typically not how the game works. You know, you got to go find, like, there's a reason why that job was open. They yeah. got it wrong at the quarterback position.
Do you know where Mike McCarthy's first head coaching job was?
Green Bay.
In college.
I don't know.
Baker. Outside of Lawrence. Before we get out of the mind of the machine, did you see the T-Bones have rebranded to call themselves the Monarchs?
I did see that.
Pretty dope. Is there a better local logo than the old Monarchs logo? I got a couple of different Monarchs hats.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the color scheme is really cool. I think the history is really cool. I am curious to know why the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum decided to sign their likeness away in the way that they did. But I understand in the midst of COVID, everybody's trying to find a way to make a quick buck. But I was a little bit surprised to see that news come across the timeline today.
Well, that question was asked earlier today on Cody and Gold. They had on Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, so you can check that out online at 610sports.com. And you've made it outside the mind of the machine, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino is where it's at.
Coming up next, the present-day Kansas City Chiefs have a lot of similarities to one of the greatest teams in the history of the NFL. I'll explain. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will play for you Josh Norman's comments. He went on the Rich Eisen show, and he gave one of the worst suggestions and ideas I've ever heard. Like, I can't really put it any more succinctly than that. I can't really tease it any better than that. What Josh Norman suggested today on the Rich Eisen show is one of the worst decisions that I've possibly ever heard in a game of this magnitude. We'll play that for you coming up in a little bit, but I've been doing a lot of thinking about the 1994 game between the Chiefs and the Bills because it's been in the news, and I certainly understand it. That was the last time that Buffalo had been at this stage of the playoffs. Last time they won a playoff game was the 1994 game. And it got me thinking about the similarities between this Chiefs team and the Bills teams from the 90s and how the Chiefs are really the Bills from the 90s, but possibly on steroids. Think back to those Bills teams. Hall of Fame head coach, right?
Yep.
That's what the Chiefs have. Mm-hmm. Marv Levy was a Hall of Fame head coach. We believe that Kansas City has a Hall of Fame head coach. At quarterback, Jim Kelly. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. One of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league. You'd think the same thing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, he's not there yet, but based on what he's done so far in his career, based on his age, based on what we think he is going to accomplish in his career, I feel pretty safe in saying that Patrick Mahomes will one day be in Canton, Ohio. They had Hall of Fame guys on offense. Thurman Thomas is in the Hall of Fame. Andre Reed in the Hall of Fame. We both think that Travis Kelce is a lock at this point to be in the Hall of Fame. We think there's a good chance that at some point Tyreek Hill is going to trend in a way in which he's going to be in the Hall of Fame or at least have a legitimate case and argument to be in the Hall of Fame. You think about on defense. Now, the Chiefs don't have a Bruce Smith type. They don't have one of the guys you could say is one of the best pass rushers in the history of the league, but I think by the time it's all said and done, Tyron Matthew is going to have a very strong argument for being included into the Hall of Fame. He's going to have multiple first-team All-Pros. He was on the All-Decade team last year. If this team ends up winning multiple Super Bowls, a large part of it's going to be the turnaround from the defense, and there might not be a bigger part of that turnaround than Tyron Matthew. There are five Hall of Fame players on those Bills teams in the early 90s. I think we're looking at five Hall of Famers right now on the Kansas City Chiefs. The big difference is the Bills got there and just could never cash in. We talked to Steve Tasker about that. What's it like to be on a team that plays at as high of a level as any team in the history of the league, just didn't cash in? Kansas City's already got one in the hand. You and I both think they're going to get another one in the hand. In the midst of this three-year run with Mahomes as a starter, we think they're going to walk away with two Super Bowl rings. While there's a lot of similarities between them and the Bills, they're the Bills on steroids.
How the hell did that happen, though? Like, how in the world? And I'm not asking you how do you get to four Super Bowls and lose, which is crazy in and of itself. How do you have that much talent? How do you have a Hall of Fame head coach, a Hall of Fame running back, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you don't win a Super Bowl. That doesn't add up. And it's not like they were going up against juggernauts every year. Yeah, the last two Super Bowls, they went up against the great Dallas Cowboys teams, but the first couple of times, it was a good Giants team and a Washington Redskins team. I think that they deserve more of a kick in the ass than they do a pat on the back for going to four straight Super Bowls. I understand your LeBron argument. You can't hold it against him because he's been to all these finals and he's lost a few of them. Well, at least he's won a couple. If he would have lost all of them, then I'd hold against him. They lost every single time they got there. I understand it's an accomplishment to be the best team in the AFC if you do it once or twice, but by the third or fourth time, don't your goals get a little bit bigger?
Of course, but I would say, though, the way you talk about the gap between Kansas City and the other teams in the AFC, that was the same thing. Like, who was the other great AFC team during that time? A lot of the strength in the league was on the NFC side. The Giants with Bill Parcells and Lawrence Taylor. The Cowboys were just starting their run at the very end of this Bills run that we're talking about. Washington, you bring up Doug Williams and Joe Gibbs. A lot of the strength of the NFL was in the NFC. Man, the Bills were just running roughshod over the AFC for almost a half decade. Who's the second best team during that time? One could argue it was possibly the Kansas City Chiefs during that time frame from 91 to 95 when the Bills were at their absolute peak. It might have been the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills and the Chiefs in the 90s were not close. I know they might have been in terms of regular season wins. They were not close in terms of what they accomplished and their dominance against the league. I looked this up. And the Bills won 49 regular season games over a four-year time frame. That's just going out there and being an 11, 12, 13-win team every single year. And if Kansas City wins at least 11 games next year, which I imagine you and I both will predict them to do so, they will win more games than those Bills did during that four-year run in which they went to the Super Bowl
all
4 years.
And they won all kinds of awards, but no Super Bowl awards. I'm looking right now. So in 1990, they went 13-3. In the AFC Championship game, they beat the Raiders 51-3. That's the Scott Norwood kick. Remember Scott Norwide to the right? Defensive player of the year, Bruce Smith. How was your Super Bowl parade? You didn't have one the next year. 13-3, as you said, went roughshod over everybody. That's the year they beat the Chiefs. That game wasn't close, 37-14 in the divisional round, and then obviously went on to beat the Broncos, and then went on to another Super Bowl. Thurman Thomas was the MVP of the league that year and the offensive player of the year. Didn't win the Super Bowl the next year. Marv Levy, coach of the year, 12-4. This Buffalo Bills team, I hate to say it, ultimate underachievers. If you've got that much talent, any sport, any time, I don't care, AFC, NFC, Pop Warner, professional, if you've got that much talent for a sustained period of time and don't win a championship, what the hell happened?
I want to play this audio for you. This is Josh Norman. Josh Norman went on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. Listen to what he said regarding Tyreek Hill.
You're traveling with Tyreek Hill this week, right? Is that what he told you? You're traveling with the Cheetah? Josh?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm going to talk about us. Not really too much concerned about what they do and talk about them because everybody's going to, you know, pump them up. We ready. We are ready, and we looking forward to it.
So Josh Norman in this says that he wants to be matched up one-on-one against Tyreek Hill. I am here telling you that that will be one of the worst ideas that could possibly happen. Like, Josh Norman can talk big like this because he's not their number one corner. Tre'Davious White is one of the five best corners in the league. And Josh Norman certainly had a time in which he was an elite-type cornerback. Man, that ain't what he is right now. Josh Norman is 33 years old and clearly on the decline. So I got a lot of respect for the career that Josh Norman's had in the league. He's been a great player at one point in the league. If Josh Norman, if the assignment on defense for Buffalo was to have Josh Norman trailing Tyreek Hill around the field and he's going to be his shadow, Tyreek Hill's going to have 200 yards receiving this game. That would be the worst possible matchup on the field for Buffalo to do defensively. They did a really good job against Tyreek the first time. He only had 25 total yards between rushing and receiving in this game. He will have almost 10 times the amount of that if their plan is, hey, Josh Norman, you match up one-on-one against Tyreek Hill. That is a terrible plan.
Hey, it could happen. I'm talking about the 200 yards. I once saw Tyreek Hill have 200-plus yards and a quarter of football this year, C-Dot. And I love Josh Norman. He went to Coastal Carolina. You know, I used to live in Myrtle Beach. Gotta love me some Tyler Thigpen, Mike Tolbert, all the Chanticleer alum, but wildly overrated football player. And frankly, always has been. He had a year, we had a bunch of interceptions. The next year, he was pretty good. And then he got that huge contract. Wildly overrated. He's been a probably below average player for the last two or three years. So at this point, you don't want Josh Norman to be guarding Tyreek Hill if you're the Buffalo Bills. The only reason that might happen is because we've seen teams do weird things in the past, and I'm talking about the recent past. Do you remember last year who Stephon Gilmore was guarding in the postseason?
Yeah, Sammy Watkins.
What the hell? Why would he not be shadowing Tyreek Hill the entire game? And why would any great cornerback, let alone the best in the league, be shadowing Sammy Watkins? So we've seen crazy stuff before.
But I think what their strategy is, hey, we know he's going to get his. Let's stop some of the over-the-top stuff.
And terrible strategy.
And Sammy Watkins, who earlier in the year had beat them in the AFC Championship game for 114 yards. Hey, let's limit that. Let's take away all the other options, and let's try to do some different things against him.
I mean, do you?
Maybe their plan is to put White on Tyreek or on Travis Kelce. I don't think I'd use my number one corner in that way. I don't think I'd put him because I don't really know physically if he matches up. Like, Travis Kelce is just so big, so physical in the middle of the field. I don't think you want to put your number one corner that way, and I'd probably move him around. Like, I don't think they're going to do this. I don't think it's going to be Josh Norman going out there, because if you're telling me a 33-year-old Josh Norman is going to be following a 26-year-old Tyreek Hill, who is arguably the best receiver in the NFL, the fastest receiver in the NFL, with his route tree and combination, you're going to need all kind of help all day over there on that side. It's going to open things up for the other side of the field. I understand this is what corners do. It's a little bit of gamesmanship. It's a little bit of talking. And we all know Norman loves to flap his gums. But this can't be the defensive plan for the Bills. That's a terrible strategy.
There's no way they're putting White on Travis Kelce the entire game as a shadow, and they're going to try Josh Norman on Tyreek Hill. That's a recipe for the Chiefs going out there and scoring 50 points for a couple of reasons. One, as you pointed out, Josh Norman can't run with Tyreek Hill. He'll just literally run down the field, and it'll burn his ass. Then he's going to score two or three touchdowns of a couple hundred yards. Bad idea. Buffalo, take my advice. If you want it, it's free. You don't have to. In the case of Travis Kelce, you're wasting White on him because he can't cover him. Like, Travis Kelce's one of those guys, and I understand how good White is. I agree with you. He's a top five cornerback in the league. Travis Kelce's gone up against great cover linebackers, great cover safeties, cornerbacks. It doesn't matter. He's been double teamed, triple teamed. He's just that dude. He's LeBron James. He's Kevin Durant. You can't stop him on the offensive side. So I'm telling you right now, C-Dot, Travis Kelce, and he's 8 against Buffalo before. Look at the numbers. He's had some huge games. The first time around, only had 65 yards. Tack on a 1 in front of that. I bet Trav goes for about a $165 on Sunday.
But I guess I would just wonder in this, like, let's say that their plan is to put Tre'Davious White on him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you deem as stopping? Because I think you and I might have different ideas of what stopping a player is. Like, you use the basketball analogy. LeBron might get 30. How many points or how many shots does he take to get to 30? Does he get 30 on 11 shots, or does it take him 19 shots to get there? I would say if it took 19 shots, you did a decent job against LeBron for the day. You know he's going to have a high volume. You know he's going to score. I'm with you. Kelce's going to get his yards. Does he get 4 catches for 62 yards? Or what, you think he could have 165 yards in the game? If you're that committed to putting enough resources to keep Kelce under 50 yards, what does that mean for the rest of the team?
What does it matter? It's pick your poison. That's like saying, how do you want to die? Do you want to drown, or do you want to be electrocuted? They're still going to bury you 6 feet under. So that's the problem teams run into, and you played the clip earlier today from the Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about how he's lost sleep over trying to guard this football team. We've seen this year that everybody gets theirs at different times. And when I say everybody, all I really mean is Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. There have been times we've called on Monday and we're like, they got targeted 28, 29 times between the two of them. So maybe you're right. Maybe I'm right. Maybe they're going to put White on Hill. Maybe they're going to try to have him cover Travis Kelce. Whoever he's not on is going to have a huge game on Sunday, because the rest of that Bills secondary is not that talented.
I would just, if I'm trying to defend Kansas City, I would try to stop the over-the-top stuff against Tyreek Hill. That's where you really get beat. I don't really think there's that much of an answer for Kelce, but if Kelsey's keeping everything 15 yards and in, and he's just eating you up under the middle of the field, as long as you don't let him get 11 catches, you can somewhat manage it because you know they're going to throw it a lot. What really beats you is that 4-play, 72-yard drive that's the back-breaking, demoralizing one for your defense. So if I'm doing it, I'm having White shadow Hill for a majority of the day, and I'm making sure that he always has safety help. I'm making sure that, hey, we think that he's going to be able to cover Hill 15 yards and in because he's arguably the best cover corner in the league. But I don't know if anybody is capable of, if Kansas City's dedicated to running those vertical routes and those deep routes over the top, eventually Mahomes and Hill are going to connect. Let's take that away. It's funny you bring up the Patriots, because that's what the Patriots did. In the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, Tyreek Hill had one catch. You remember, he had a catch on the first drive of the game. He didn't have another catch. But they got beat by Watkins having 7 for 114. They got beat by Travis Kelce having a good day, where the yards and the attention that typically go to Hill, Sammy Watkins really stepped up in that game. I'm with you. It is a pick your poison, especially if this team is going to be healthy. I don't know if there's a right way to defend this team.
Do you remember a game? It was about a year ago. In fact, it was January 12th was the date, versus the Houston Texans, when Travis Kelce went out there and ate, and then he ate everybody else's lunch too. He had 8 catches for 83 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second quarter of that football game. Again, this time last year, in the second quarter versus the Texans in a playoff game, Travis Kelce had 8 catches for 83 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know who didn't have a huge game? Tyreek Hill. You know the Texans tried to stop? Tyreek Hill. So it's one of those things where opposing defensive coordinators and coaches, they can have a great game plan. The problem is they don't have enough guys to stop the Chiefs. So whoever Josh Norman's on, that guy's going to have a huge day. Whether it's Kelce, whether it's Tyreek Hill, I'm talking $150 and a couple of touchdowns.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll catch up with Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Will be on the show coming up at the top of the hour. Speaking of Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner was on NFL Network. He thinks this game comes down to one thing.
This is going to be a classic case of, can Josh Allen go swing for swing with what most people believe is the best quarterback in the National Football League in the biggest moment? He's shown up to this point that he can match it. He can play at an MVP level. Biggest moment, biggest game of his career. Will we see it again against Patrick Mahomes?
I do think that this matchup is fairly interesting, because most times Kansas City has way more firepower than their opposition.
Oh, yeah.
The other team doesn't really have enough, can't really score enough, isn't really explosive enough, isn't as good at quarterback to be able to go back and forth with Kansas City. I don't think you can say that about the team they're going to play in the AFC Championship game. Tyrann Mathieu was asked about that, and he thinks that Kansas City is going to see a very different Josh Allen the first time these two teams met in Week 6.
I think this time around, you know, you're going to see a quarterback that's, you know, really understand, you know, where the ball is supposed to go. You know, I think the last time we played him, it probably wasn't his best outing as a quarterback. So I'm pretty sure he's going to come in here this Sunday, try to get into a rhythm, you know, fairly quickly. I can see them, you know, using his legs early on to kind of get him in a groove, because he's one of those quarterbacks. Once he gets in a groove, once he gets his confidence up, you know, he's tough to stop. So, you know, I think it'll be really important for us to come out of the gates, you know, playing really, really hard, really fast, and everybody communicating.
Josh Allen has been absolutely on fire this season, especially since the game against Kansas City. He didn't play that well against Kansas City, 14 for 27 for 122 yards. He also turned the football over. Since then, he has had 21 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions, 3 passing touchdowns this playoffs, also had the rushing touchdown against the Indianapolis Colts. I think Kansas City's offense is better than Buffalo's. I think the numbers also suggest that. I think, though, in a very similar manner to what we saw earlier this year when Kansas City went up against Las Vegas, I think that Buffalo was one of the few teams in the league that can go blow for blow and punch for punch with Kansas City. Maybe they can't have a knockout, drag-out fight like the Rams did back in 2018, but Buffalo is an offense that's capable of scoring 30 against this defense. With Allen, with his athleticism, with his ability to move the pocket and how he can escape pressure, with Stephon Diggs being one of the 5 best receivers in the league, we'll see what happens with Cole Beasley's health, but it sounds like he's going to be able to play John Brown in the slot. Buffalo, even though you think that they're Kansas City light and their logo athletic, they can score 30 on this Kansas City defense.
Yeah, they're JV, and that's cool. I mean, sometimes JV teams are good, but they're not varsity. Josh Allen's great. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Sean McDermott's great. He's not Andy Reid. I don't think that Stephon Diggs is either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. But I do think what you just said is factually correct, that Buffalo can put up 30, because I'm looking at the numbers that they put up this year. In fact, only one offense in the league scored more points than them. That's the Green Bay Packers. So Green Bay scored 32 points a game this year. Buffalo scored 31. So you're talking about one of, if not the best offense in the AFC. Now, the Chiefs, not too far down. They average just under 30 points per game at 29.6. This has all the earmarks of a shootout. And To me, that's Buffalo's best chance. I don't think that Buffalo can get into a game like they did last week versus Baltimore and come out on top 17-3, because I don't think anybody's keeping the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes on the football field to 3 points. It ain't happening. So if Buffalo's going to win this game, I think their best shot is to try to put up a 30 spot, try to put up 35, and beat the Chiefs by a point or two.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to have to try to stand toe-to-toe in the middle of the ring and slug it out with Kansas City. This team just doesn't run the football well enough to kind of win that low-scoring, slug-it-out kind of game. I think Josh Allen's really good. I think he's been really good so far this season. I think he has some ability similar to Mahomes, where on third and five, you can feel like you called the right defensive play, but the other team's quarterback is going to figure out a way to make a play to extend that drive. And typically where you would get off the field against most teams, their quarterback converts that into a first down. They get points that drive. We'll see if Allen's capable of being able to score. I think Kansas City is going to be relatively healthy in this game. I expect Mahomes to be able to play. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be back. I think Sammy Watkins is going to be back. I think this is going to be as healthy of a Chiefs offense that you can have this late in the season. If that's the case, then Kansas City scoring at least 30. If Buffalo's not bringing 30 to the dance, it's not realistic that they're going to be able to pull off this upset, unless they're going to force Kansas City to turn the football over in a way that Kansas City typically doesn't do. So that dynamic Bills offense that we saw the last 7 weeks of the NFL season, where they were going out there and hanging 30 effortlessly against teams, they're going to need to bring that offense. I would say the team that played against the Indianapolis Colts, I thought Josh Allen played well in that game. He completed 75% of his passes, almost 350 yards and three touchdowns. He almost accounted for 400 total yards. Like, he's going to need to have one of his better games of the season in order to knock off Kansas City.
I love playoff games like this. I know as a Chiefs fan, I'm supposed to say I want the easiest path, but I want Patrick Mahomes to go up against, like you're saying, the best quarterbacks in the league, the future of this league, a guy that we're going to look back 5 or 6 years from now and say, damn, they both got a couple of Super Bowl rings, or they've been to 5 AFC championship games head to head. That's what this is. And don't get it twisted, I like when they beat Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl, or Ryan Tannehill in the AFC championship game, or Baker Mayfield a week ago. But that's not what this matchup is, C-Dot. This is the one that we've been waiting for. This is what we were supposed to get last year when Lamar Jackson pooped the bed, either literally or figuratively, and you got the MVP. And I actually want to take it a step further. I think these guys, when the MVP vote comes out, the four quarterbacks left, in some form or fashion, are going to finish 1, 2, 3, 4. Based on the way they played this year, I think Aaron Rodgers had the best season. I think Patrick Mahomes probably going to finish 2, even though he didn't play the last week. And then if you want to put Josh Allen 3 or Tom Brady 3 or Josh Allen 4, whatever. I know, but the numbers are going to tell you that the season was a little bit more impressive that Josh Allen had than Tom Brady. But remember what Tom Brady did all those years in New England and what Tampa wasn't able to do for the last 15 years, and that he was the common denominator. So to me, it would go Rodgers 1, Mahomes 2, Allen 3, Brady 4. It's pretty dope that all four of those guys are still left.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll catch up with Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Warren Moon will be on the show coming up in 10 minutes. Speaking of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, let's head to the NFC Championship game. Who do you want to win? You've been like on and off the Brady train this season.
Oh, no, I never got off.
You are a conductor right now for the Brady bandwagon.
Don't lie. People listen. They know I never got off. You never got on.
No, I have never been on the Brady bandwagon this year. That is fair.
Since you're my homeboy, what I did for you is I bought you a ticket.
I do not want to be on the Brady bandwagon.
What are you talking about? I already spent the money.
You wasted your money. I don't have any interest in being on the Brady bandwagon.
Look, I bought you a ticket, so you're going to get on. So it's not going to be a good seat since you're the last one on, but welcome on. I want the Bucs to win for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah, because Kansas City is vastly superior to them.
Yeah, that and for you to be wrong. I mean, it would be a home game for Tampa Bay of sorts. I understand that there's only going to be probably 15,000 people there, and they're not going to be your average Joes and Johns. They're going to be a bunch of
doctors who have the vaccine.
Which is dope. I think they're going to do that. I think
that's a really cool idea.
Super Bowl's been talking about letting all the first responders and people who have been vaccinated in, not all of them, but a portion of them, and I think that would be really cool. For no other reason than it would piss you off and you'd have to apologize, I want Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to win this football game.
This might come as a shock to you. I don't really care who wins. This is why I don't really care who wins. I think it's an incredible storyline regardless of who wins. I got to care about storylines at this point in the season. The storyline of then versus now, past versus future, is really exciting to me. Even if Kansas City is upset in this game, you get to see Josh Allen, one of the leaders of the new school, going up against a couple of these old school QBs. That'll be a great Super Bowl to watch. You got Aaron Rodgers in one corner, his second Super Bowl appearance. His team drafted his replacement. He turned it around, and he's going to use that as motivation to go to the Super Bowl, knocking off the greatest quarterback of all time. In the other corner, you got Tom Brady. If the Buccaneers go to the Super Bowl this year, it will be one of the greatest stories in the history of the league. The year after leaving New England, he brings Gronk with him. He goes to its 10th Super Bowl, and they're the first team to ever play a home game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That'd be a fantastic story. I'm not against rooting. I'm not here rooting against cool. The Buccaneers in the Super Bowl will be cool. Green Bay in the Super Bowl will be cool. So I know it's not a hip answer, but you know what? I don't really care who wins the NFC game. Now, I would like for the Packers to win so I could come on here and say, see, I told you about Brady, and I want Brady to throw for 175 yards, zero touchdowns, and three interceptions. That's what I want to happen. But I'm not a hater in this scenario. If Brady goes out there and balls out and goes to a 10th Super Bowl, I will say this. I don't think you guys want Brady to go to the Super Bowl, because if Mahomes is going to his second and Brady is going to his 10th, a lot of people will be spending more time talking about Brady than talking about your team, and I know how you guys are starting to act about that. If everybody at every single minute is not talking about Mahomes or picking the Chiefs, you guys take that as hate and disrespect.
It's going to be that way either way. Last year you had Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, whose best players were on the defensive side. Of course Patrick Mahomes is going to be the star. If it's Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, if it's Tom Brady, the best player of all time, no matter who the Chiefs play.
I think it's even greater if it's Brady.
I think it's a wash.
I think it's a much bigger story if it's Brady.
I think
than
you could get
Rodgers.
Roger Goodell right now, hook him up to a lie detector test and say, who do you want to come out of the NFC? And he'd say the same thing you did for different reasons. He'd say, I don't care. Because either way, they're just going to make a boatload of money and everybody's going to watch. It's not like more people are going to watch because Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers is on that field. It's not going to matter. Both those guys are ultimately probably the two biggest superstars still on the NFC side. As long as they don't get Josh Allen, the NFL is going to be happy.
I mean, I don't think they care if it's Josh Allen.
Compared to Patrick Mahomes, like hell they want it.
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl is one of those things that I don't think the casual fans like, hey, who's the quarterback matchup in this thing? Oh, Mahomes ain't in it? I ain't watching. Like, I think the Super Bowl is one of those things that it ain't like the NBA Finals or the World Series. I think you're watching it regardless.
So you don't think that the NFL cares if it's Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady versus Josh Allen versus Tom Brady? You don't see the difference there?
I think that Allen has a chance to be the next star. Mahomes is already a star. He's already prepackaged. He's done. Like, you've done all the work on Mahomes. He's on every commercial. He was on the cover of Madden. He's already won MVP. I'm not saying they wouldn't like it. What I'm saying is, all the work for Mahomes to be that American superstar face of a league is already done.
Yeah.
You've got a chance to do it with somebody else now. You got a chance to now, the next time Mahomes is in play, hey, Super Bowl MVP of this year, Super Bowl MVP of this year. Like, the NFL cannot lose in this scenario with whatever outcome. Like, once you got to this point, you cannot lose with any of the matchups. So I'm with you. Mahomes certainly has more cachet with it. But again, the work of making Mahomes a superstar is done. Josh Allen isn't a superstar. He doesn't have the Nebraska Furniture Mart, the Community America, the Adidas, the Oakley. He doesn't have all those things. You know what he will have if they go to the Super Bowl? All of those things.
I'm actually with you now. You convinced me. That's a good point. Yeah, they've already got their guy in the AFC. We've been saying, who's the other guy going to be? The best way to do that is to beat the guy. Yeah, good point.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, one of the greatest players in the history of the league. Warren Moon, set to join us next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.